Episode 10 Things We Wish We Knew Before We Started as a Handyman. Well, John and I both have been seeing a lot. There's some people out there right now that are pumping, you know, how you can how you can transition from your current job that you hate into being a handyman, and you're going to do extremely well, and you can do this and you can do that and blah, 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 and this and that. And it just takes me back to memories of my days in the vending business when people used to say the same thing in the vending business. And it just made me think, gosh, let's talk about some things that people need to know before they become a handyman or consider a transition. Welcome to the Handyman Pros Radio Show, home improvement and maintenance tips from the pros. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Handyman Pros Radio Show, where our goal is to help save you time, money, and aggravation on your home maintenance and repair. This edition's entitled, 10 Things We Wish We Knew About Before Becoming a Handyman. And to help me explain, I'm here with my chuckling old buddy, Johnny. Johnny, what has been going on this week in your world?
I cleaned off all my pavers and sealed them, and I also sanded them.
Okay, folks, when John's talking about sanding them, he didn't take his sandpaper out and sand
them.
I poured sand in between the cracks, polymeric sand in there.
Yes. We'll be talking about this later and the things that I have found out about that. So let's just leave that there. But that's what's been going on this week.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, all right. Before we get into the main topic, which is 10 things we wanted to know before we started handymanning, we just want to remind you to please like and subscribe to our both YouTube channel and to your podcast or your listener, whichever you're listening to. It really helps the algorithm determine what people want to listen to and helps other people find this insane thing we call the Handyman Pros Radio Show. Johnny, let's talk about some of those things that we should have known beforehand. A lot of these we did know about, but some of them, what we want to do is dispel the truths. I, as I said in my intro, I came out of the vending business, and there were these things called blue sky promoters, and they just would tell you all of the positive things and none of the negative things. What I saw in those days were a lot of people getting into a business that if they had done just a tad bit more research, they might have passed on getting involved instead of spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Or making thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars mistake for something that they isn't going to be everything that they were told it was going to be. So with that, let's start.
Yeah, so I think just a takeaway on this show is kind of we broke this down into what? Three basic areas. This is kind of the things I wish I knew before I started this, my handyman, business. Now it's all been good. It's all been good, but you know, you always can get off to a better start. With some wisdom that comes out of somebody who's already done it.
Somebody that's done it. That's right.
So I think that, you know, the three stages that we had here is like, you know, before you're starting, what did we say? Up and running. And then, kind of the growth side of the business.
Yeah, and then the growth side. So the three areas, again, are before starting, up and running, and then growth. So yeah. Just so you know. We're going to break down some tips in these areas of going. So before starting, one of the first things that we always discussed, and we've discussed shows on this, and we've done these with various different people, but is legal and licensing requirements, you know, basically – who are you going to fall under in your particular state or county or city or wherever you're going to work, right? And you need to check those things out. Some states we've found in our doing of this show, becoming a handyman in certain states is almost impossible because you can't get the licensing for it. And John, toss in any comments.
Yeah, my comment here is that you might be, and I'm talking about, this is a bit more formalized from this. You might already be doing some handyman stuff for your neighbors or whomever.
Yep.
I will tell you though, the things that you're going to wish that you knew before you started all that was to understand what the legalities of what you're doing, and how far you can go. You need to understand, if you don't, you're going to get pinched. Okay.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, legal, the legalities of it. How much can you charge? There's all kinds of, like Larry just said, there's all kinds of different state requirements of how much you can do, what you can touch, what you can't touch.
Correct.
You know, in some states, you know, you can't touch a toilet. You can't touch, you know, you can't touch pee traps. You can't touch any, you know, these kind of things. You just need to know that. So before you go start to do all this stuff, you really need to set this, you know, you need to build yourself a foundation of understanding of what you're doing.
Where would they do that, John? Do we have any tips and tricks on that?
Yeah, I think what you do is, you know, one is that, you know, I did an LLC, just to protect myself.
Well, I was talking about sources of where you could find out more about some of those licensing firms.
I'm getting to. So, but through that, you know, you start to interface with the state. You know where the websites are for the state. Okay. I know that sounds menial, but there's a lot of information out there. You can search the internet for the legalities of a handyman in your state, in your area.
Yeah. And if you do that, you'll come up with a pretty good list of things. So you can go to the internet. You can also talk to other contractors, you know, ask, if you go into your local plumbing company, for example, who's a licensed contractor, has to be generally, they can tell you a lot. You know, they can tell you a lot about being a handyman, what you can and can't do and that kind of thing. Or they can direct you in the right places. There's other places in the state. There's the state, I think it's the Attorney General's office, has all kinds of information on that. And then, that's right. There's also some associations out there that can give you information as well. So for one, there's the Association of Certified Handyman Professionals can tell you a lot about this. And there's other people that can as well, too. And ask a handyman. They'll tell you. I mean, your state.
If you take a step back and logically think it out, you know, there's a reason why electricians are licensed. And there's a reason that there's a licensing requirement for plumbers. And, as just an individual, you can't just go running around and present yourself to do everything like they do. I know we can all, you know, we all have a lot of skills out there that we can do those things. But, you know, I always say, and you've heard me say it before on the show, is that I'll do things in my house, but I won't do it for you.
Right.
Okay, that's because it's beyond the scope of my legality, and you got to know those limitations.
Yeah, there's the concept of understanding, like, can something hurt you or cause major property damage? And understanding anytime you touch anything, you're technically liable for that. So therefore, you need to either be insured for that, or you need to have a basic level of skill level, aka the license. And that's what the licensing does. It protects the consumer from everybody that's unlicensed, you know, not Correct. Abiding by standards and things that become safety hazards in the case of electrical, or major property damage in the case of plumbing, and other things in other. There's a lot of requirements in the trades as far as what's considered safe, and it gets into environmental issues. There's all kinds of things. Anyway, understand it. It's all out there. It's not that difficult to find. Get out and figure it out. Yep. Insurance is another one.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah, go ahead. You talk about.
I was going to say, I've been getting questions that, you know, from some of our listeners about insurance, and they're all good questions, but you know. Once again, let me go back to the beginning. You know, these kind of things that the things I wish I knew when I started this whole thing. And I did, because Larry, you know, we had that conversation about the insurance right from the get-go.
Yeah.
But if you're out there just running around as a lone wolf doing these things without insurance, you're making a huge mistake.
It's always the what if.
It's always the what if. And that's, you know, that's why it's insurance, right?
It only takes one episode, too. I mean, literally one. If you think, I'm going to just throw out a plumbing episode, right? Just think about this. You install a new water line to a water fountain. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter. That line breaks and the homeowner is not home and it leaks for 3 days in somebody's home. You now have more than $100,000 worth of repairs to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have $100,000 sitting around. Okay. Yep. For that, right?
Nope.
And these are the things you have to think about. And I did that. I just have to tell a side story on this one, Johnny. So I lived in a condo when I started as a handyman. It happened to be a 3-story high condo. I did not do any plumbing, and I mean nothing. I didn't change a toilet on the second and third floor. And I'll tell you why. Because I became liable for everything below me. That's all exactly the way top to the bottom. I was like, nope, not going to do it. I'm just not, I'm not, I am not comfortable. And I have insurance, but I'm not comfortable in doing something where I can destroy two other people's homes.
So this is a good tip there, folks, is that these are the kind of things that, that you wish you knew when you started this business.
Yep.
And that's, and Larry just gave you an example. Know your limitations.
Yeah. Know your limitations.
And know your liabilities. And you know, it's just super important, but it's, you know, once again, and we're going to move along here, but it's, you know, it's the foundation of putting together a, you know, this plan to be in business.
Right.
So,
and just one other quick thing on legal, this is legal/licensing. Don't forget, you do have to pay taxes too. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just so, saying, you got to do it.
So that's another, another thing we'll get to is when we talked about before is having some kind of a, you know, software program that
We'll get to it.
To do your stuff. So
and then one last thing too, have some kind of a contract or agreement with your people, even if it's verbal, but have a contract. You know, have at least an invoice that shows that you did this amount of work or that amount of work. You know, I put it on every single invoice. Have some kind of an agreement with your people, because you can get sideways very quickly. And I don't, not saying it necessarily has to be in writing, but it can be verbal or by text where you have a scope of work for the day. Please do yourself a favor, because you're going to get sideways with it, and you're going to go, but stuff is never good. It's just never, never good. Yeah. So anyway, what's next, John? Specialization and generalization?
Yeah, you know, and I think that leads right into, you know, understanding what your skill sets are,
right,
what you're comfortable with. I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum here, but it's really one of the things that, I'm very upfront to the folks that I do work for. You know, if I don't feel comfortable about it, I'm like, I am not taking that on.
Yeah, same here. Yep.
Because it goes back to the first thing we talked about. insurance and liability,
and our bodies have to function tomorrow.
Well, and then there's that side of it. So, you just really know it. This helps in a lot of ways as you go through this journey as being the handyman and you're building a business, is understanding what you're really good at. Because once you understand what you're really good at, then you can be that guy.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And then you branch out over time, and then you get to be really good in something else, and then you're that guy. You know, so now you're building a skill set that you've got under your belt that you can, you know, confidently go in and tackle all these different things. But I wouldn't bite off more than I could chew, so to speak, at first.
Right. And as a general rule, I just want to throw this in there. When we're talking about specialization versus generalization, in general terms, I hate to use the same general term, but in an overall arching thing, a handyman is a generalist. He can do multiple jobs and do them well. But certain things, when we talk about this generalization versus specialization, there's just certain things you'll do better than other things, and you'll find this out as you get out there and do it. You know, you'll find that, I don't know, I'm looking at a ceiling fan. So hanging a ceiling fan becomes really quite easy, and you know all the steps that are involved, and you get really good at it, and you can do it, you know. So that's one thing. Doing the wiring for a fan or something like that might be a totally different thing. And it requires different, it goes back to licensing and requirements, and sometimes it requires other things. But get good at a handful of things. Now, one other thing though, because you can't do a job or you don't want to do a job, I always use roofing for an example. So I don't do roofing anymore because I'm too old, to be honest. But on a low slope, on any roof anyway, I can give my customers advice on the roof, like, because I've done enough of it in my past that I know what's right and what's wrong, you know. So I can be that consultant for people and give them a solution to their problem, but not actually do the work myself because I don't have licensing, I don't have the tools, desire, whatever it happens to be. John, for example, really loves to hang off the top of roofs on ropes. That's his big thing. And he likes to be at least 70 to 100 feet in the air. That's when he's in his element.
Yeah,
not,
right. Yeah, tie myself to a chimney somewhere. Yeah.
That's not
going to happen.
Yeah. So there's that, you know, we don't need to say anything more about this.
No,
right?
No, I think, you know, it just goes back to just understand what you're good at and what you're comfortable doing. Don't bite off more than you. That would be my advice. Before
you start. Exactly. Understand all this. One other thing that John and I both come out of a background of sales and or slash marketing, but mostly we're sales guys. Honestly, we're sales guys, but we want you to have before you start, Johnny, what do they say? Nothing happens in business until something is
sold.
Okay. So marketing and sales if you don't understand marketing and sales, at least in some form or fashion, before you start, don't start. Just don't. If you can't sell, don't. And selling, John, what's selling? I'm going to ask you because you have it better. Selling is what?
Well, it's closing. You know, I look at it this way. You know, marketing opens deals and sales closes deals.
Correct.
Yep. I mean, that's in the long and the short. I mean, the short of it. Let's put it that way.
Right.
I think this is something, Larry, you bring up a great point here. And that's something that you guys out there that are going to start on this journey really need to know, whether it's handyman or what's any business. You
Does,
really
business,
need to understand sales and marketing.
Correct.
Just from the standpoint of, you know, being able to open up new opportunities or discover opportunities or notice that the opportunities are there and then how to close those opportunities, you're going to be a lot happier. You're going to make your life a lot easier and make more money doing it. That's
Absolutely.
Just the bottom line.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. And I want to touch on something else you said, John. Marketing opens the doors. You can have the best marketing in the world, friends, but let me tell you what. If you can't get out there in front of the customer or on the phone or whatever it happens to be, but in front of people is the best, by the way. It still is. And all you internet people are going to rip me to shreds, and I'll tell you you're wrong, because I'll still tell you you're wrong. But if you can't close the sale in front of somebody, get in front of them and have them say, yes, I want to do this. Here is the down payment or whatever your terms are. You have not closed the deal, and no marketing in the world will do that, even if you take an online order. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, you've got to get in front of the people, in their homes, and understand what their goals and objectives are. So that's sales. Learn how to sell. And sales isn't, hey, what do you think?
Yeah. There's that's plenty of books sales. On it. Plenty of stuff.
Tons
on,
of resources.
Lots of resources. Go out and at least get yourself acquainted with it if you're not already. But look, you're going to make yourself a whole lot. You know, your life is going to be a whole lot easier if you understand that.
Absolutely. And another thing too, have an understanding that I'm going to go down. We wrote down some items on here to talk about in sales and marketing. Number one is I'm a numbers guy, folks. If you haven't figured that out, have a budget for this. Understand there's two things you can do to do sales and marketing, right? One is you can spend money to do things like advertising and websites and this and that and all the other things. But that takes money. That's a budget. You need a budget. The other thing you can put in is your time. And so Johnny and I used to, especially back in the day, I know when I was selling full time, I used to go knock doors. That was just time. And I got good at it. And I know it doesn't sound like fun because it's not, but it gets really challenging after you do it enough. It starts to get really exciting. But you're going to need money and time to do your marketing. That's part of a budget. Understand, very little happens quickly, especially in marketing. Now, sales, things happen quickly. You know, you go knock 10 doors in your neighborhood, you tell them you're a handyman, almost guarantee you somebody's going to say, hey, what do you do? And that's your entree into starting a sales presentation. So understand budget, though. You got to understand that you need a budget. You need a time budget and a money budget, and you got to have it and put it in writing, too, by the way, some form, and do that. John, what's another one that they need to understand?
I think the one thing that we were doing, was networking.
Yeah. How did you start in the handyman business?
Yeah. I mean, I started to.
You called me.
Yeah.
It was the first thing you did.
Yeah.
You know.
And you need to get out and present yourself out in the in the groups that you associate with as the handyman.
Yeah. Networking. You're out networking.
And you're going to do so. That's one part of the networking.
Yep.
Now I knew that going into that. Now, some of you folks, if you didn't, you do now.
Well,
okay. And now
yeah,
the other thing,
too,
the other thing that you want to do in your networking is you need to make friends with plumbers and electricians.
Yep.
Larry and I had picked out some that were really skilled guys that were, highly relatable. And you know, there's a lot of plumbers and electricians out there, but it's up to you to decide which one is the best fit for your network.
Yeah, it's a give and take thing, and there's a networking is it's very much an art and a form. There's lots of resources on how to network, but for example, we network with plumbers and electricians largely because they like to cut holes in walls, but they certainly don't like to do drywall work, or at least the ones we've met
don't. You're going to get extra business by doing this.
Yeah, so we go in and do the drywall repairs for them, and that gets us into the people's houses, which in turn, we then hand them a business card, say we're a handyman, and they go, well, what else do you do? And thus you get in and we do this, we do that. Oh, I see this. I see, you know, if you just do a quick, trust me, you can pick things off in most people's house, even in my house, you can pick things off just looking around without even moving 2 feet. So it gives you a way to get in, to get a conversation started with potential customers via networking through somebody else. So it's networking is really, really critical. In my world, do you have more to add there, John, or am I missing anything?
No, that's good. That's
because we got to keep this moving.
Yeah, we're going to keep this moving. I think one of the first things you just said there, and this is going to go take a step back real quick, but you need to have a pricing strategy, because what's the first thing people are going to ask? How much?
Well, they do and they don't.
Well,
you know?
they're going to, but if you're just getting started, they're going to, everybody's going to be curious about one thing. How much is this going to cost me? Okay, you're hardly ever going to get a carte blanche to say, oh, I'm just going to come in and do that, and then I'm going to give you a bill. People are going to ask, well, you know, what's, you know, are you, is this hourly, or how much does it cost to put up a ceiling fan, or what are you going to, you know? So you need to have that answer. In other words, if they don't ask, you know, okay, that's one thing, but it's count on it. You need to have a strategy of pricing.
You won't close the deal if you don't have a number associated with
it. That's what
right?
I'm saying.
Yeah, that's your
exactly
point.
What I'm saying.
But you do need to have a pricing strategy. And yep. Pricing strategies, they, you know, that sounds simple, right? It sounds simple. I think I'll just do this. Well, maybe, maybe not.
It's really not. I think I would encourage everybody to go back and search out our channel on some of the pricing and marketing and sales that we've been doing.
Yeah.
Because this is one of the things, I'll just add this, Larry, I'm sorry, nope. Is that one of the things that I see more often than not on these boards that I, you know, participate in as professional handyman or plumbers, electricians, is pricing.
Yes, very much so. And everybody has questions, and it's kind of like,
how much you guys charge for this?
Yeah, and that's irrelevant in most cases, because as we've said so many times, and we've done a whole show on pricing and strategies, and folks, you can go back in our archives and find it. We should have the number up, but we don't. But anyway, it's not an art, but it's related to where you are and also what the local charges are going for. And then there's even strategies with just within how you actually price that. I work on three ways. I work job rate, hourly, and then a daily rate. I work on those three. There are three different pricing strategies. That's just how I work, because it works for me. I achieve economies in all three of those areas depending on the job, you know, the size of the job. I prefer daily work because I go to one place and I get paid for the day, and I do a whole series of different jobs. But that's my preference, but that doesn't always work. So it's just that there's a lot to pricing strategy, and there's, a bunch of resources on it, and you need to know it before you go in. The worst thing in a sales presentation you can do, somebody says, well, how much is that going to be? And you go, I don't know. I need to think about it. And you're done.
Yeah, you're done. You're done.
So, you will not.
Yeah,
close
you
the
need
deal.
To, you need to have, you need to have, you know, you need to rehearse, you need to practice, you know, yes. these kind of conversations people ask, they're going to want, you know, at least a ballpark. Hey, I don't know. It could be between this and this until I get into it, but you're going to have to say something to that. If you just leave that, like, I don't know, you're done.
You'll never get hired.
You'll never. Yeah,
your credibility went right out the window. It's gone forever too. You won't get it. You probably won't get it back. So understand that.
Yeah.
Understand that. You do have to have a level of customer service. I'm jumping to customer service, John, because feedback is after customer service. You have to understand there's going to be certain things that are part of your program that you need to be consistent with, and these are what we call customer service things. How soon do you answer the phone? How do you answer the phone? Do you clean up after yourself? Do you show up on time? What are your communication policies? What else do we have there? There's all kinds of things. These are simple customer service techniques that lend to branding and marketing that make you credible or incredible. And incredible meaning uncredible, I think is the right word.
Right.
They either enhance your credibility or they take away from your credibility. And and the biggest thing you have is your credibility. Do you do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it at the price you're going to do it? That is it. If you learn those things, did I miss anything, Johnny?
No. Once again, these are the kind of things that you wish that you knew before you started this. Now I knew this, but I know a lot of you folks, if you're not thinking about this, you need to be thinking about it. And this, so in this stage of just starting up, okay, these are the kind of things that are really going to start to propel you.
Yes.
Okay. And that is what, Larry was just mentioning, customer service. Ask for their feedback. Ask for them to give you references, okay, or if they'll be a reference for you. You do good work, all the things that, we were just talking about. And now what you're starting to get now, when you put all this together, you're starting to get a little machine here going. Now I've got things that, now I've got some work I've been doing. I've got some strategies happening. I might have already gotten, two or three, four customers that'll say good things about me. And now you're off to the race. Now you're up and running.
Yeah. Now you get to the up and running phase. And that's literally exactly why we broke this into three sections.
Yeah.
Because now you got the up and running phase where you might have 10 customers. You might have a bunch. Doesn't matter. You're up and running now. So you're out of that initial phase. But understand all of that stuff. And folks, we put this stuff out here. You don't need to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to learn all this stuff. Most of this stuff is common sense. You can get it from us or you can get it from other people. And certainly if you want to give us thousands and thousands of dollars, please call John and I. We'll take care of you. We'll take your money. Okay. And we'll give you, I have done this several times with people. People have called and asked me for help. And my most notable, he's my single most notable. I've got a bunch that are most notable, but the one fellow calls me up and he says to me, can you help me? And I said, I believe it was three ideas. I gave him three ideas over the phone. I did a follow-up call 2 weeks later. He goes, I can't talk to you. I'm too busy. And I can't even go any further. I'm too busy. I said, worked, didn't it? He goes, yes, it's amazing. And I was like, well, we've done it for a while, right? And you just have to understand, I like some of the courses, there's some good courses out there, there's some bad courses out there. But when they start exceeding a couple of thousand dollars, pass. You don't need to spend that much money. You just don't. Yeah. There's plenty of different things. And so much of this you can just learn from other business people, associated or not. They can be handymen or they can be, every business shares common traits. And so everybody faced a lot of the same things. So with that, let's move on to up and running, Johnny.
So these are the kind of things that caught me by surprise. And so once again, here comes a little bit of my wisdom of, if I can pass that on, is that, after you've got a couple of customers that'll say great things about you, don't be surprised that you're going to get real busy.
Yep.
And now you're into other problems. Okay. And it's not customer problems.
Challenges, they're challenges.
It's your issues now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And that is, I am so busy that I don't have time to do the things I need to do for the business. And we've talked about what we do for the business, working on the business is one of our shows. But, things like the documentation. We talked about invoicing. You need to have a program. You need to have these accounting programs, something you can count on to help you keep organized for your books, keep you organized for communications, all of that.
Have a good calendar program, folks.
And a good calendar program, however you'd like to work it. But I am telling you that for scheduling and everything else, these are a lot of issues. And once again, all these boards in these professional sites and all that, one of the things that's always comes up is, how do you guys schedule? Oh. How do you keep juggling this stuff? Because this is stuff that, you know, you might spend 8 hours a day or more working as a handyman. You come home, you're dead tired. Well, hell, that the day's just getting started.
Yeah, well, 100% correct.
You know,
and one of the other things, and we talked about this in building the business show, and but I'm throwing this one out there, folks. If you think you're working 40 hours as a handyman, 40 hour work week, meaning you're going to do 40 hours worth of handyman work, you just signed yourself up for about an 80 hour week. You're not that to bill 40 hours. I bill on a busy week, I bill about 30 hours, and brother, that kills me. I'm older. You know, if I was 25, it'd be different. But at my age, and I'm pushing some age I don't want to talk about. But anyway, I've told.
Yeah, hence all the hair you're cleaning out of the sink.
Yeah, from my head. Thanks, Grandpa. I'm just helping you. Thanks, Grandpa. You get pattern baldness.
All right, Gramps.
Anyway, but folks, you're not going to work. You know, it's a tough week that you work 40 billable hours. It just the time you've got to get supplies. You've got to do the bookkeeping. You've got to do this. You got to invoice. You got to set appointments. You're going to be on the phone. You got to, you know, the machine has to keep moving forward or it stops. And so,
yeah.
Understand this is part of time management, but you got to have these programs in place, and it's documentation and it's understanding. You as you get experienced in the business, you also understand how long jobs take, because we've talked about estimating, but there's also time estimating. And oh, that'll only take me an hour. Wrong. I guarantee you'll be wrong by a good 50% of the time.
Yeah, you're going to find things out. Yeah, you're going to find things out through, you know, trial and tribulation of just being in the business. I think. So, you know, the other thing is that, you know, you're up and running, and, the things that I, you know, Larry helped me out a lot at the beginning here was that, you know, we invested in good tools. And it was, you know, it was a variety of tools.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, you're only going to go so far, until you need tools.
Yeah. We're talking about hard tools right now, John, like actual hammers and saws and so forth and so on. So we're actually talking about having the right tools themselves.
Because you're not going to be able to perform to give a professional look at the end of your jobs if you don't have the right tools. That is just not going to happen. So, you know, just be thinking about that. And I think it goes back to the budget.
Yeah.
Okay. So once you're up and running, you've got to be thinking about that too, because that's going to open up more doors, right? So,
another thing on tools is understand that there also is the you don't necessarily have to own everything. You can rent it. We did a show on tools about, you know, what tools you do need and you don't need. And then, you know, explore the opportunities on other tools. I always use my SDS drill, which my good partner John has bought, but I needed to do a lot of drilling in concrete, and I was really running into some rebar is what I ran into, a lot of it. And I finally broke down one thing on tools, and this was the other side of this, it lends into the same thing. The right tool will save you enough time to pay for the tool in one job. Okay. And I say that,
good point.
And I say that because I'm going to, this SDS concrete drill that I was just referring to, I bought the drill, it was $150. It cut my hourly down by, I saved myself 4.5 hours. And at my billing rate, that paid for the tool and gave me a return on investment by buying that one tool.
Exactly. And you know, the other thing that we always talk about, Larry, it's kind of funny, is that let's say that you just took on a job of painting somebody's shutters. and here we go, right? So go out and buy yourself a $100 sprayer. I'm just using this as an example, right? And you can get that job done in no time compared to trying to paint that thing with a paintbrush.
Johnny, I've told you this story a dozen times, just going to say it again. I did that on my own house. This goes back, gosh, this was the second house I owned, I think. This is a long time ago. This was the 80s still. And I remember I started painting it. I'm like, I'm not going to buy a sprayer, blah, blah. I'm going to paint it by hand.
Yeah.
Took me one day. I painted two shutters. inside, you know, both sides, yeah. right? It took me 8 full hours. I said, and I had 24 shutters on the house to paint. Yeah. I was like, F this. And I went down, and this is the time, this was outside Rochester, New York. There was a home improvement store called Chase Picken, which folks, if you lived in that area, you know what I'm talking about in those days. And, it's since gone. But anyway, I went down and bought a Wagner power painter, and I painted the rest of the 22 additional shutters in 3 hours after that. And I said, what in the heck were you doing, yeah. you moron? You know?
Yeah. So Larry, you bring up a great point on, you know, that. So when you're thinking about this, folks, Larry brings up a great point that, you know, the tools now that you're getting into now, when you're up and running, you're going to start to find out that, you can either muscle your way through something, or you can do it the easy way and make more money. Even if the tool costs you money, you're going to make more money, because now you're going to get comfortable with, I can do that in, you know, I can name that tune in 3 bars, you know, and now you can charge the same amount of money, but you're in and out in a fraction of the time.
Yes.
So when you look at it that way, now you can start to charge by the...
By the job. Yeah, by the job.
Okay, so now your pricing strategy might change on some of these jobs, but you're going to be making more money. So just kind of remember that. So moving along here, Larry, yep. you know, so let's say, you know, we talked about the startup. We talked about, okay, so now you're up and running. You're starting to get your arms around this thing. And what's the next thing that happens?
Well, we already mentioned on it, but it's time management. It's making sure that, you know, have that scheduling program. Understand, again, what tools do you have? How fast can you get a job done? Now, back to the sales presentation, if you have a job that's questionable, and again, a lot of these are experience related, but we always like to use John. We do a lot of wood rot repair here in Atlanta. We're outside Atlanta, Georgia. So we do a lot of wood rot repair in Atlanta, Georgia. But wood rot repair can be easy, or it can be way more involved than you ever want to get into. And you never know until you take the thing off. And so part of the time management issue is, when you're looking at a job, understand some of the root causes of these problems, and give yourself lots of extra time on those particular things. Again, we like to use the ceiling fan analogy. That one's pretty simple. Pretty much, you know, if you're going to put up a 5-bladed ceiling fan, you're going to have to put the thing together, and it's going to take you X amount of time. Even using all the right, you know, your drill driver and all that stuff, it can take you about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, just depending. But it shouldn't take you much longer than that. And if you're really good, and if you're doing a bunch of them, you'll get even faster than that. And that's great. But there is there's only so much time you can do for that. But you get into some job like a wood rot repair job or something, and all of a sudden you open it up and it's rotten all the way down into the studs and joist plate, and you now have a major expense. You have to be allowing that in your sales presentation, but this goes to your up and running. It's time management as well. You have to allot for the time.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I think that's something that, that I learned, you know, and I think we continually learn. I'll be honest, is that you have to be careful. And this goes back to your pricing strategy.
Correct.
You know, what do I tell somebody on a wood rot job? And you have to tell them something.
But you know
what the parameters are behind it, right? You know that, hey, this thing, I could just rip this thing off and be done with it, you know, in an hour. Or, hey, man, if I get behind here and I find all kinds of other things behind here, like termites and whatever, now we're talking about a whole different, you know. So just, you have to be, you know,
it's called range, you know, the pricing.
You learn to talk to people in that way. Say, right. Hey, you know, I don't really know in this case what I might find back there.
Right. And it gets back to sales, right? It's customizing right. your sales presentation to what are your goals? You know, if somebody's flipping, like, for example, not flipping a house, but say somebody wants to move out of their house and they've got a little bit of wood rot and they want to get rid of it, that's a different parameter than this is, I'm going to be here the next 20 years and I really want it fixed right.
But my point here is that, you know, guys, you know, what you learn is that no matter what the company, they're going to use the same type of discussion. They're going to have the same discussion with somebody. Nobody can come in and just say, hey, this is going to be, you know, nobody's honest is going to come in and say, you know, for that scenario, hey, I'm going on a voyage of discovery here, and I don't, you know, it could be from this to this, and you could throw out a ballpark. People are going to understand that. But all these professional companies are going to come in and they're going to do the same thing. So just kind of know that. One of the things that, you know, when you're up and running and you're starting to go to the next stage here is continuing education.
Which is all we've been talking about here. This is all educating yourself and understanding, like, just even these stories, like these wood rot stories. Listen to us, not that we know everything, because we don't, but listen to the premise of that story and understand that things are not always as they, quote, should be or could be or will be. And understand some of these tips are to help you educate yourself so that you don't make incredibly costly mistakes or mistakes that are that cost you future jobs or things like that. Like even learning new skill sets, you can learn these new skill sets because, John, you do this all the time. He gets online. He's forever watching this. He goes and tries it at his house, and the next thing you know, we have a new product. So you run with that one a little, Johnny, you know?
Yeah, I mean – you know, I think that's what kind of things that you need to know, and that is, you know, with researching, doing this additional education, you're going to wind up being to tackle other jobs or doing the ones that you're already doing quicker,
and that goes and for better. All things, including and, business
and
that's, functions.
And that's everything. And that's everything.
Yeah, I mean, using your software better. Yep. It can be very worth the time, you know, learning how to use it.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. So, you know, really encourage you to check our videos out or our, you know, whatever, and learn about, you know, maybe you're trying to branch into something else, you know? Having said all that, you know, so that's kind of what the stage of when you're up and running.
Yeah. You're up and running. Now we get to business and growth, and we can go on for hours here. We're not going to.
We're gonna end pretty quick. But what I'll just say this: the one thing that caught up with me is that I couldn't believe how busy I could get, or how much business I could get if I really wanted to. Now I'm retired. I'm older. I don't want to keep, you know, this job thing going like that. But I guarantee you that if I went out and did any marketing or any sales or marketing, I mean, I'd just be overloaded.
John, do you remember the guy I don't know if we interviewed him, but we talked to the guy that had what, 5 or 6 crews out there running handyman business.
Yeah.
And he was doing what, like $5 or $6 million a year. Yeah. And he said to, you remember what he said to us? He's like, I'm tired. I have no way out. I can't shut the business down, and I'm having a hard time selling it.
So now he's in this spot. Okay. So
he's
now
trapped.
Folks, so folks, now you're in this position, you're up and running, you're getting to be, you know, you're really starting to professionalize this thing. Okay. Let's put it that way. And now you've got to be prepared for the inevitable. Yeah. If you're really going to do this.
Right.
And I know we get a lot of questions about this, you know, hey, I want to either want to drop my current job. I want to become a handyman, or I want, you know, I'm doing this and I want to start to hire people. Well, now you're talking about, you know, now we're getting into building a business.
Right.
Okay. It's not just your own job. You're starting to build a business, and that's a whole nother bag of issues. Okay. But just know that this can happen pretty quickly, especially for you folks out there that, you know, already have a big skill set that just want to get into this, and you might be ex-plumbers or whatever, and you want to do this on the side, or, you know, you're retired from being whatever it might be. Man, these things can take off.
Yeah. My old friend named John Singer told me one time, he said, be careful what you really want. You might actually get it.
Yeah, careful what you wish for,
because you really might get it. And it's both. You heard John say he doesn't do any marketing, and I don't do any marketing anymore either, because I can barely handle the workload that I have now. And so I have to be very, very careful to go out and do any kind of business, what's called business development, because I can overlook, because it's just me. And both John and I have had employees in the past, and we find that that's a stage of our life that we are not going to go into again, because we're just both not in that stage of our life. So, but what have we both said, John? Both John and I have both said, man, if I was in my 30s, I would run this bad boy like boom, you know?
Right. Right. So, you know, there is that. So for all you folks out there that are younger and you're saying, hey man, there's things out there I want to get out of what I'm doing and maybe get into, you know, some type of a trade or this, that, and the other. You know, the handyman thing is great. You go get your general contracting. All this applies to no matter what you're doing. Okay.
Yeah.
What our conversation here is, but these things can take off. And you know, you might be saying, man, when did this all happen? It might be like a whirlwind.
Yeah.
Because I am telling you, I know I can pretty much put my finger on the time, the date and the time that this thing really took off.
Sure.
And I was getting so many calls. I turn stuff down all the time. But, you know, but for the rest of you guys out there that might be in your, you know, 20s or 30s and, you know, and you're really starting to mature into this business, you know, hey, great. It's maybe time to find an office and hire some people and really get this thing moving, because I'm telling you, and Larry and I, we both talk about it all the time. There's a lot. If you're good, you're honest, all the other things we talk about, you can make a lot of money in this.
You can do very, very well, but it's going to take time, and it's going to be, and it's a, and it gets to be a lot. I always said this in the vending business, and I always laugh. People used to ask me, oh, the vending business is great. You don't do anything. You hardly work. And I look at them and I go, really? You want to walk through my day? And they'd say, what do you mean? All you do is put stuff in the vending machines. And I'd go, yeah, but what you don't see is me loading the truck at 4:30 in the morning and reloading it again at 7:30 at night.
Right.
You know, what you don't see me is me spending hours a day counting money. And they go, well, that'd be great. I go, counting money is boring when you're pouring in bags of coin. And this is back when we did mostly coin and bills monies. Today, they use a lot of electronic currency, so it's a little different. But back in the day, you know, I would spend 8 to 10 hours a day counting money. You think that's fun? No, that's about as boring a job as it gets. Plus, you have security issues. You know, every time somebody come to the door, I've got my hand on the pistol waiting for somebody to kick the door down. I'm not kidding. It's not a joke, right?
No.
Because, you know, blah, 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 right? But no, it's all like all businesses. If every business was so great, everybody would be doing it.
Yeah.
And I mean, we can talk about, let's talk about podcasting. Johnny, how much money have we made on podcasting?
Yeah.
No, absolutely zero.
That's why I still wear t-shirts.
But we enjoy doing this, so we do it because we enjoy it. And we want to get our word out there. But business, like all business, so the purpose of this show was just to be, you know, be cautious. I do want to talk once about fiscal responsibility. Folks, if you're going to get into business for yourself, make sure you have some money back. You are going to need some kind of a savings and or not necessarily retirement funding. That's mostly brought in business growth. But I don't care if you're contemplating starting in the handyman business, you need to have some savings of some sort, because you're going to go through the normal course of business, the ups and downs. You're going to have lulls in business where it's cash flow, right? And I would tell you, go understand cash flow before you do anything else. When does money come in? When does money go out? But there's always times even just in the year, right, John? Certain times of the year are busier than others. Certain times of the year are more profitable than others, you know, and so forth and so on. But you got to have some money back. So what else do we have?
We can talk about this, but I think just to wrap up, you know, I hope everybody kind of gets a little bit better understanding of, you know, kind of the three stages that I think I've seen going on here was just, you know, the startup and when you're up and running and then the business stage and what Larry and I have learned, you know, kind of going through this whole thing.
Yep.
So give us, send us comments and, you know, questions. We'd love to hear about your business. Honestly.
Yeah, we actually would. I am personally very tired of having the aliens pick me up in my yard, Johnny. And I'm not going to mention what they're doing with me, but you know, We're trying,
yeah. Folks. Yeah, that's, not our, counting, that's the way we not, end. Yeah, they're not counting coins.
Yeah, they're not counting coins. Yeah,
All right.
Back to Johnny's point. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, send us an email, questions@handymanprosradioshow.com. We do answer all of our emails. We always do. We really like the interaction that we get. If you've got some ideas for shows, or you have your comments, you just want to say something, drop a comment in the YouTube video or something like that. Please like and subscribe us as well. With that, Johnny, what do we got?
Oh, that's it. And thanks for listening. And you guys have a great week out there. And we'll see you next time on the Handyman Pros Radio Show.